Appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Hope you'll be encouraged. Well, that song that Paul did, that was something, wasn't it? I got to get the words. I hope y'all, if y'all recorded that, get that to me. I want to put that up and get some more criticism. So I want to put that up. And one guy said, I want to be like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. And that's where I'd like to get, on that road to Damascus. But I want to encourage you here this morning, and I don't have an expository sermon, but I do just have some practical encouragement, I hope. My wife and I were in Northern Virginia speaking in a church. We got invited out to eat in the home of an Egyptian couple. I've never been to Egypt, but I'd like to see the pyramids, but I don't think a tire necklace would look good around my neck, so I've not been, but we didn't know what to expect. We'd never been around Egyptian people, so we went over there, and we had a delightful time. They had prepared 20 Egyptian and Lebanese entrees. 20. They spent 3 days. 20. And we ate, we fellowshipped, we laughed, we talked about real life issues. And when we left, I said to my wife, can you remember the last time we had such a good time in somebody's home? We were refreshed. Now, we all know people who uplift us when we get in their presence. We all know people that when we get around them, we know we're going to be better off than we were before we got around them. These are the people who help us feel better about life, about our situation. They help us to gain perspective. They are refreshers. So I want to talk to you this morning about a ministry of refreshment, okay? A ministry of refreshment. Now, people are fatigued, discouraged, diseased, depressed. We need some refreshers in the house of God. And I'm going to equip you this morning to do that very thing, okay? Now, in the Bible, you'll find the word refresh, refreshing, refreshed, mentioned at least 10 times. All right, fellas, I guess I need some help. Am I doing the wrong thing? Do I? You need a thing in the back of the church, amen. All right, just flip through with me. Hey, bing, bing. How many are going to want to vote right now to get a screen in the back of the church? Say amen. And a clicker that works. Double amen. But look at this reference to refreshment. Look at this right here. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul that he took an harp and played with his hand. Now read the bold part out loud. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now, that word refreshed there means to breathe freely. It means to enlarge. It means to revive. So David used his gift of music to refresh the spirit of Saul. Now notice in Timothy, the book of Timothy, chapter 1, verse 16, notice this next verse. I'm going to let y'all flip through them. Notice this, if you would, in your Bible, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. He often refreshed me. Now the word refresh means to cool off, like when you're hot. In other words, it means to relieve. And Onesiphorus was like a glass of ice cold water or ice cold sweet tea on a scorching hot day. He refreshed the soul of this man. Now notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 13, the Bible says, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. His spirit was refreshed by you all. Now the word refreshed there means to give rest. Of the Corinthian Christians brought comfort and rest to Titus. He was refreshed by being in their presence, the ministry of refreshment. But I have one more, and that's in Romans chapter 15, verse 32. Notice what Paul said, that I might come unto you with joy by the will of God. Now read it out loud. And may with you be. Now Paul knew that if he got around these Roman Christians, they were going to be refreshed. He knew he was going to be refreshed. That was a joint benefit. The word refresh there means to refresh oneself in company. And he knew that they would all be refreshed by being together. Now, we live in a world filled with agitators, aggravators, irritators, cynics, scoffers, and critics. And that's why the Church of the Living God should be a community of encouragement. Now, we need more refreshers. So I want to exhort you to be an exhorter. I want to encourage you to be an encourager. And I want to equip you this morning to be a better refresher or an exhorter. Now, what are the characteristics of a refresher? Now, these are very, very simple, practical things that are doable. It doesn't make a difference what your temperament is. It doesn't make a difference what your spiritual gift is. These are all doable things. Now, notice number one, the characteristics of a refreshing person, a person with a ministry of refreshment, number one, is you have to have a positive attitude. You have to have a positive attitude. Say those two words out loud together. Positive attitude. Spend your life focusing on what you love instead of what you hate. Spend your life focusing on what you love instead of what you hate. Now, an attitude, what is it? It's a learned tendency. A learned tendency to evaluate things in a certain way. So go out of your way every morning to greet people at church. I was at the door this morning and numerous people, just about everybody came in, was smiling and they greeted me. Well, that's a ministry of refreshment. Now, be upbeat. Let your heart overflow with grace. The Bible says that we're not to be critical because in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt, rotten, putrid communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace. Now, the word corrupt communication, the word corrupt means putrid, rotten. I grew up in Southside, Virginia. My parents grew enough Irish potatoes to feed the entire county. It was my brother and I's job to harvest those potatoes in August when the vines would die off. My father had a 1950 John Deere putt-putt tractor, and he rigged up a horse-drawn turning plow, and we'd put it behind the John Deere. And if you got it just right going down the row of potatoes, the turning plow would flip the dirt over, and theoretically the potatoes would fall out right in the row. Some of y'all might know what I'm talking about. Well, we were harvesting these potatoes, and it was like 95 degrees, man, it was hot. And there was a potato that was stuck in the side of the hill where the plow had gone along. So I reached down to grab this baseball-sized potato, and when I grasped the potato, I could tell it was an unstable potato. The inward parts of the potato were liquefied, but the skin was still intact. I don't know if you've ever smelled a rotten potato, but it doesn't get much worse than that. Okay, you just don't get much worse than that. So I took that baseball-sized liquefied potato, unstable potato, and I used to be a baseball pitcher, and my brother was 10 feet away. And I looked at him, and I looked at that potato, and I reared back, brother, and he took off running, and I planted that thing dead center of his back, splat, over the place. And after he stopped throwing up, he started throwing some fists in my direction, which I'm really blaming. But you know what? Let no corrupt communication, putrid communication proceed out of your mouth. There was a Quaker one time. He was trying to milk his cow when the cow took his foot and put her foot in the pail of milk. So the Quaker calmly emptied it out, cleaned it up, and tried it again. This time the cow kicked the pail of milk over. So the Quaker calmly started again. And this time as he was sitting there milking the cow took its manure-laden tail, swiped the Quaker right in the face, and the Quaker calmly got up, walked in front of the cow, and said this. He said this to the cow, "Thou knowest I am a Quaker, and I cannot hit thee or curse thee, but I can sell thee to a Baptist, and he will beat the devil out of you." Now, we got to work and keep a positive attitude. Is anybody with me on this right here? And you better not be overdosing on news. I just tell you that right now. You better not be overdosing on that stuff, or you're gonna have to up your medications, man. If you keep listening to all of that stuff, I'm just telling you. An optimist can find opportunity in every calamity. An optimist can find opportunity in every calamity, but a pessimist can find calamity in every opportunity. And refreshers choose to focus on the sunny side. They speak life. Pointed encouragement based upon facts. Now listen to this. Refreshers who have a positive attitude, they impart energy instead of deplete energy. Does anybody know what I just said? Some people are putter-inners. Some people are taker-outers. And some people are so negative and so critical, they just drain and suck the life right out of you. You don't want to be like that. If you're going to have a ministry of refreshment, man, you're going to have to be an energy giver instead of an energy taker. Learn to be a putter-inner instead of a taker-outer. Now, your spirit communicates as loudly as your words. How many know your spirit is powerful? Your personal atmosphere is powerful. Manly Beasley, a Baptist evangelist, was known as a man of faith because he got 21 unrelated terminal illnesses. Most people get one terminal illness, and that pretty well takes care of it. But God would heal him, and he'd come down with something else. 21. He was known as a man of faith. He was laying up in the hospital, sick as a dog, in unbearable pain. Six Baptist preachers had flown in to try to encourage him, and it wasn't working. And he was in absolute, utter agony and misery when all of a sudden a humble woman walked into the room carrying a brown paper bag, and it was Corrie Ten Boom. And Manly Beasley said that when Corrie Ten Boom walked into his room, he said, Jesus walked into the room. Here's what he said. He said, I don't know if whether the heaven came to that room or whether that room went to heaven, but when she walked in, God walked in. And here's what he said. His pain didn't subside, but his ability to cope with it improved. And I'm telling you, your very presence can lift people. Your very presence can help people. But you gotta develop a positive attitude. Now, your thoughts can lift people or depress people. What's in your mind, what's in your spirit and in your heart translates into an atmosphere. And listen, your thoughts give birth to words. We talk about what we're interested in. We talk about what we love, or we talk about what we hate. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, listen, what you dwell on will find expression in your words. What's in the well is going to come up in the bucket. And can I say that constructive speech flows out of a happy heart? People who are refreshers, they spend time with people. They are thoughtful. They invest in people. They give of themselves to sit, to talk, to listen. Now, a positive attitude is contagious. And Paul longed to be with the Roman Christians because he knew he'd be better off, and he knew they would be better off. You know, Pastor Vaughn, I like to go some places, not because I think anything significant is going to happen in the church, but I like to go some places because I just like to be with the people. And I'm telling you, I love to be around people who have a positive attitude. Now, number two, if you want to have a ministry of refreshment, you have to display genuine concern. Not obligatory concern, not dutiful concern, but a genuine concern. Paul said, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. Now, the word compassion means to suffer together, right? Passion means to suffer. C-O-M means company. So we're fellow sufferers. Listen, we're fellow saints. We're fellow sufferers. We are fellow sinners. And genuine concern will minister to people's hearts and refresh them. Now, to be empathetic, that just means that you're able to sense what others are going through because of experience or placing yourself in their shoes. An empathetic person. You know what empathy is? Empathy is me feeling your pain in my heart. That's what empathy is. It's me feeling your pain in my heart. Now, compassion is just to enter into another person's suffering with a desire to lessen their pain. How many know that even animals can tell if you like them or not? I was in Alabama. We were visiting the home of an 85-year-old woman. She was on hospice. She was a saint, and she was dying. So we went to encourage her and her family. Well, in the driveway, we got to talking to this woman's son. And here we are trying to console him. You only have one mother, you know. And his was dying. So we're trying to encourage him, try to, you know, console him, comfort him. Well, all of a sudden, out of the woods in Alabama, emerges a flea-ridden, tick-infested, snotty-nosed cat. Now, animals and children all like me. They like me. And of all the people they're going to come to, they're going to come to me every time. So the cat made a beeline for me, and here I am. You know, I'm trying to be serious. I'm trying to be compassionate. I'm talking to this guy, and this cat comes up and begins to rub up beside me, transferring fleas by the dozen with every swipe on my pant leg. So I'm sitting here, you know, trying to keep the right spirit here. Oh, brother, I'm sorry to hear about that. And I'm kicking. Oh, my brother, you know, we're praying for you, brother. And the cat was a special needs cat. Special needs. Stupid. It was stupid. I'd kick it six times before it figured out I didn't want anything to do with it. And but you know what? If animals can tell if you like them, people can too. And I'm telling you, a snotty spirit doesn't help anybody. And people that don't look like us, think like us, vote like us, act like us, they're still loved of God. Amen. And we ought to have compassion. I mean, genuine concern is what we're talking about here. Now, the greatest gift you can give is your time and concern. Compassionate people are not in a hurry. They're available when you need them. So take a real interest in helping people. Don't rush out of church unless nature's calling. Don't rush out of church. I mean, this is a good sign, man. The toilet's done played out and COVID's... Anyway, this is all a good sign. Speak to everybody you can. Now listen to me. Invite people to your home for a meal. And get a chemical mask and invite people. Take people out for lunch. I'm just telling you, get to know people, especially visitors, man. Just kill them with kindness, you know. And the Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we can help bear other people's loads. So a genuine concern is required to have a ministry of refreshment. A positive attitude. But number three, you have to be a good listener. A good listener. Now, there's no greater loan than a sympathetic ear. No greater loan than a sympathetic ear. Silence is often more beneficial than advice. Can anybody give me a witness on that right there? You don't have to tell everything you know. You don't have to share every ounce of wisdom you picked up over your journey here. I mean, learn to be a good listener. You know, I have people come to me and tell me the most bizarre things. I could tell you some stories. I was up here one time at one of these conferences, and this 85-year-old guy comes up. I don't know him. He doesn't know me. And he says these things. I can't say what he said. But I have people that tell me stuff, and I say to my wife, do I look like a doctor? Do I look like a psychologist? I mean, people just, I guess it's because I listen to them. I guess, I don't know, but learn how to be a good listener. Now, listen, if people spend time with you, they ought to leave better off than they were before they started. 2 miles from my home, there's a pastor. He started coming to the prayer vans 4 years ago. And I'd go up and drop in and pray, and he'd talk, and I'd listen, and he'd say the same thing every time. Every time he'd say the same thing. You are such a good listener. He said, you are refreshing. Now, let me tell you what I've discovered. I've discovered that if you'll give yourself completely to the people you're speaking with and let them talk it out, don't interrupt. If they stutter, don't try to predict what they're trying to say. Make eye contact. Give direct, intentional consideration and attention to them. And if you'll just sit there and listen without asking a bunch of questions and making commentary on every point and let them talk it out, they will give you credit for having tremendous wisdom And all you had to do was sit there and keep your big trap shut. Am I right or wrong? That's why they pay $200 an hour to these guys, just to listen to them. So you got to learn how to be a good listener. Now, Job's friends helped him for 7 days in silence, but they lost their ministry to their friend the moment they opened their mouth. And of course, what they had to say was not born of the Spirit. So don't be a busybody. Don't be a gossip. You don't refresh people by down-talking other people. Look, there's plenty of down-talking that could go on, okay? And there's a place for prophesying in the church. But listen, you don't refresh people by down-talking other people. The old Puritan said, he that speaks a slander carries the devil in his tongue. He that speaks a slander carries the devil in his tongue. He that receives a slander carries the devil in his ear. And I'm telling you, the damaging, unnecessary criticisms are just not helping anything. So listen, anybody can find the dirt in others. You be the one that looks for the gold. And you got to learn how to be a good listener. Have a positive attitude, genuine concern. But if you want a ministry of refreshment, listen to this one. You need honest communication. Say that out loud. Honest communication. Did you know that candid honesty is so rare, it's refreshing even if you don't agree with the other party? Just tell us what you think, man. Just you know, honest, candid communication. Now, if you can find something to compliment somebody for, do it. Because a compliment is verbal sunshine. It's verbal sunshine. Now listen to this one. A pat on the back, though only a few vertebrae removed from a kick in the pants, is miles ahead in results. And I'm telling you, honest communication. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's the overflow of the soul. Now, the Bible says much to say about speech. Let your yea be, and let your nay be. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. Never give false praise. You ever get around a flatterer? Man, they're just all the time flattering you, and I don't need to hear all of this. I heard somebody say yesterday that the sermons in most churches are so sweet, the congregation has spiritual diabetes. Just flattering all the time. Just say what you mean, man. Mean what you say. Candid communication, non-wavering, direct communication. Don't speak in code. You know, every group and every church has code words, and the guest speakers are obligated to throw out those code words to let them know that you're on the same page. I ain't throwing out no code words. What it is what it is. And I'm just here to tell you, friend, if you're going to refresh people, be truthful, honest communication. Now, I have a friend, and he got into a bad habit. He was a pastor, a preacher, and he didn't mean this. He didn't mean to do this. He didn't know he was doing this, but he was taking God's name in vain all the time. The Bible says we should not use God's name in a light, frivolous, and useful, empty way. Well, he got into a bad habit, and when he'd get excited, he would say, "Bless God." But it wasn't like, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," and all that is. It wasn't like that. It was an expression of surprise. Whereas other people would use curse words, he'd use God's name. And he kept on doing this. And I've heard pastors through the year, Pentecostals and Baptists are famous for blaspheming in the pulpit. And I want to tell you something. Nobody should use God's name as an expression of surprise. Do I have a witness on this point here this morning? Amen. We should not do this. This is not wrong. Done not right. You watch the charismatic boys on TV, and they can't go 10 minutes without, "Oh my God." We should never do this kind of stuff. But anyhow, so he was a good friend. So I said, "Now, brother, I just got to talk to you." And I didn't read him the riot act, and I didn't condemn him, but I confronted him. And I said, "Brother, look, you're unaware of this, but man, you're taking God's name in vain." And I just talked and was calm, and he thanked me for sharing that with him because he was unaware. I knew he was unaware. It wasn't intentional. And then the deacon came in, and he said to the deacon, he said, "Brother Harold just rebuked me, and I'm glad of it." Well, open rebuke is better than secret love. And you know, sometimes honest communication can be helpful and refreshing. That's why strong preaching sometimes, when it convicts the life out of you, it's refreshing. Because the eternal makes things urgent. And I'm just telling you, I was in a sermon, in a message one time, the pastor was up there preaching like a house of fire, and God convicted my heart, and I was immensely helped, but not only helped, I was refreshed to hear the voice of God. And I'm just telling you, honest communication can refresh people. Now, think about the people you enjoy being with, and just think for a moment about the people you like being around. Now, aren't they the ones that make you laugh? Aren't they the ones that laugh with you? Not everything is drop-dead serious. And I'm just here to tell you that happiness is one commodity that's not diminished when you share it with other people. Be a Monday morning encourager. Yeah. Text the pastor. And by the way, fix the toilet so he don't have to come in. That'll encourage him. But be a Monday morning encourager. Text the pastor. Hey, good word, brother. Or the Sunday school teacher. Or the dear lady that sang that wonderful song. Hey, praise the Lord. That was great. Or Paul with his comedic routine. That was great. But encourage people. How many know people need encouragement? How many know spiritual leaders need some encouragement? I was talking to a well-known spiritual leader. He said, Harold, you know how many people ask me the hard questions? No. Zero. In other words, it's assumed that they got it together. Can I just say something to you? Anybody trying to pastor a church in this mess is catching it from the Paul Revere crowd and catching it from the scared to death crowd, and there ain't no way to win. Okay, there just ain't no way to win. And we need to start encouraging one another on purpose and make a career out of it. I like what one guy said. I'm going to spend the rest of my life encouraging people. That's one of my life goals. I want to encourage as many people as I possibly can as long as I'm here. Now, there was a guy in Ireland who always tried to encourage his pastor every Sunday. Now, in Ireland, in those days, everybody had to shake the pastor's hand. You know, you preach the sermon and 400 people file out, and you got to shake every one of their hands. Whew, brother, you need latex gloves if you're going to try that now. But this guy made it a point to encourage his pastor every Sunday morning. Well, he was in line, and he couldn't, for the life of him, he couldn't think of anything positive to say because the pastor had laid a homiletical egg. The sermon was a loser. And he's racking his brain, trying to come up with something, and he can't think of a single thing. And he's coming up in line, and finally it came his turn, and he shook the pastor's hand, and he said, "Great text, Pastor. That was a great text." So if you want to, you can find something encouraging, if you will. Amen? Now, don't have COVID water up on the pulpit for the man of God. Just see, I've offended somebody. No, make it bottled water. I'm sorry. Honest communication. Sorry, but honest communication. Let me give you another. Hey, you want a ministry of refreshment? You want to refresh people? You want to impact people positively? Listen to this. Have an obvious faith. Have an obvious faith. Now listen to this. Pray prayers of faith, not prayers of doubt. Listen to me. Don't interrogate sick people. Don't speculate about their chances of survival. I got diverticulosis one time, and a friend of mine emailed me, and he said, "Yeah, Brother Harold," he said, "my cousin came down with that, and he didn't last 2 years. How many know that people can say stupid stuff? Amen? Stupid stuff. I mean, just stupid stuff. Now, look, people who are sick are already struggling. Speak a little faith in their life. Pray a prayer of faith over them. Why not? And don't be so hung up on have an obvious faith. And don't give your surefire health food remedies that's going to cure everything. There is no health food remedy that's going to cure everything. Go ahead and say amen on that point right there. This is really good. Now, words of faith encourage people. Words of faith, prayers of faith. I prayed with thousands of people. I've only been turned down once when I asked to pray for people. I was getting a bone scan one time. I'm so ignorant of medical stuff, I didn't know how serious this was. Now, when you get in a bone scan in the waiting room, there's no television on, and nobody's joking, and they're all sitting around like this right here. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. Don't know what this is going to show up. It's bad. If you got to get one, that's bad right off the bat. So here's this black guy sitting over here. So I went over beside him. I said, hey, man. I said, what's going on with you? Told me what's going on. I said, be hard if we have a little word of prayer. Oh, that would be great. I've only been turned down once when I offered to pray for people. I was in front of the Cancer Treatment Centers of America in Atlanta area. And they all have, the patients go to this hotel and have on this little name tag so you know who they are. But this guy, he was a black guy, but he was washed out. His skin was washed out. You could tell he was very, very sick. So I stopped him. I said, we're trying to unload the luggage. And I said to the guy, I said, hey, brother, what's going on with you? Him and his wife. Mm-hmm. I said, be hard if we have a word of prayer with you. Oh, that would be great. That would be great, they said. So we got a little huddle here. We're blocking the entrance into Town Place Suites. Having a little prayer meeting right here. Did you know that prayers of faith and words of faith encourage immensely people who are suffering and facing the uncertain? Listen to this. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold. It's refreshing. A word spoken in season, how good it is. It does a world of good. I was in Northeast Pennsylvania, and the pastor said, Harold, the fundamental churches in our area are not the life-giving churches. That's what he said. The fundamental churches in our area are not the life-giving churches. Our churches should be life-giving churches. Can I just say something to you? That our ministry should impart life. Our words should impart life. The words I speak, Jesus said, are spirit and they are life. As cold the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. I'm telling you, a faithful messenger will refresh people. So have an obvious faith. Have an obvious faith. Choose to believe God. If whatever's not of faith is sin, then we ought to be praying in faith. Do y'all believe that? And when we come to church, instead of worrying about when the socialists and the communists are going to take over, we ought to come expecting God to show up and speak to our hearts. Do you agree with that right there? If it's not a faith, it's sin. And if you're not praying in faith, you ain't praying nohow. And we don't need people mumbling their unbelief and their fatalism. I'm sick and tired of the fatalism that's crept into our circles to where everything's a question mark. They ain't never an exclamation point. I was in a church last Sunday. Yeah, I mean, that thing was off the charts. They had 100 people that got COVID, but they came back together. First Sunday night, had 400 show up. Sunday morning had a great crowd, but Sunday night about 400. And the pastor's going into a praise and prayer midweek service. Praise and prayer. So he had me in to preach on prayer. And then on Sunday night, we did the protocols. We would talk. We would read the verse. We would exhort and expound a little bit. Implement, sing, read the verse, exhort, implement, and sing. We did five of them. And I want to tell you something. I told him, don't you dare call out a prayer meeting. Because prayer meetings are nothing but problem. They're problem-based. Most of them are nothing but problem. They're so caught up with problems, there ain't no praise in the whole house. So he's going to call it praise and prayer meeting. Starting January, every midweek service. I predict they'll have 500 people every week. And what an atmosphere in that place. Because there's some faith involved here. So if we're going to have a ministry of refreshment, we need an obvious faith. Number six, to have a ministry of refreshment, you got to be a generous giver. Be a generous giver. Charles Dickens said, nobody is useless who lightens the burdens of another. More people fail for lack of encouragement than for any other reason. So purpose to be a need meter. You know, it says in Corinthians, chapter 2 Corinthians 8, that the Corinthians were in a great trial of affliction. A great trial of affliction. Listen to this. Yet they had abundance of joy. Great affliction, abundant joy. Listen to this. But out of their deep poverty, they were broke. abounded to the riches of their liberality. So they're impoverished, but yet they're very generous. And here's what Paul said. They were praying with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. They wanted to help other people. And this they did, not as we had first hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord. Now let me tell you about these Corinthians. They were investors. They gave themselves first. Then they gave their time, their resources, and their emotional energy to minister to other people. Now listen, when you are going through a dark season, start sowing into others what you're lacking yourself. If you're sick, find somebody sicker than you and sow some encouragement into their lives. And if you ever start having a pity party and ingrown eyeballs and feeling sorry for your situation, you ought to run over to the cancer center and just set up. If you can ever sit back in there, just or stand outside the door and watch them women coming in with they're bald and their bodies are weakened and skinny. And watch those children come in there. You know what that'll do for you? What problems do I have? And I say to my wife all the time, I say, we don't have any problems. We never had any problems compared to other people. We know four people of family friends who have died within the last two weeks with COVID. And we don't have any problems. Cancer? We don't have any problems. Look at the stuff other people are going through. Families falling apart, breaking their hearts, addictions, all kinds of junk. Are you with me right here? If you're discouraged, sow some encouragement in somebody else. If you're broke, sow what you can into somebody else. If you're depressed, sow some happiness into somebody more miserable than you. Instead of sitting around navel-gazing and feeling sorry for yourself, you'll feel better about you and life and everything else if you'll go on the offense and start ministering to people. Jesus helped people when he couldn't find any help himself. When he was hanging on the cross and paying the sin debt for the human race, he was ministering to the thief on the cross beside of him. And when you can't find any help yourself, you can still help other people. You might be perplexed and confused and baffled and discouraged and overwhelmed, but brother, just go ahead and try to encourage somebody else. I'm telling you, you need to start sowing. Life's about sowing and reaping and help people when they're sick. Help them. Don't ask, what can I do? They ain't going to tell you nothing. Do something. Use your brain. Figure it out. Take them a grand Chinese buffet, or go clean the basement out, or in the church. Just take some initiative here. And if they're out of work, sow a gift. If they've had a tragedy, be a Johnny on the spot. Listen to the voice of God. In the matter of giving, be a generous giver. We were in Decatur, Illinois. Pastor said, Harold, there's a fellow behind the church. His family and another mother and her children, two mothers and five children, were walking down the road when a man in a pickup truck who was not drunk, the sun got in his eyes, and he ran over the two mothers and the five children. The 2-year-old boy was killed, and the others were hospitalized. Pastor said, Harold, he said, I'm going to go visit this man. Would you like to come along? I said, boy, I sure would. So we went down there, knocked on the door, and here this guy finally stumbles out barefooted and hadn't shaved. It was the father who lost his 2-year-old in the accident. So the pastor says to him, he says, hey, we're from the Baptist church right up here on the corner, and we heard about what happened to your family. We want you to know we're praying for you and your family. We've been praying for you and your family. And we just got a little gift here. We'd like to just give you a little something, maybe to help you. And he handed it. Well, I was proud to be a child of God. I was proud to be a Christian. That's kind of the way it ought to be, don't you think? And you know what that guy said? He said, would you have your congregation pray for the man that ran over my family? He said, I'm sure he feels terrible. And he said, I've not been able to get over to see him yet, but would you have your family pray for that man, that God would help him? I thought, man alive, How many know you can be nice to people and minister to people who are not even saved? Say amen right there. How many know you can be nice to people who are Muslims? Homosexuals. I could say a political term, but I'll refrain. I'm serious. I know people who have built their churches on a ministry of mercy. I know one guy, he's got a ministry of mercy. He's at the hospital all the time praying with people. He built his church just because that's his thing. And they're reaching out. And I'm telling you, look, be a generous giver. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, I'm glad at the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for they supplied that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. And you know what? I know times are hard, but we are blessed. We're in the top 2% of the entire world. Even welfare people are in the top 2% of wage earners in this country. Are you with me right here? Be a generous giver. Now, that means when you're out at the restaurant and you see somebody that looks like they're down on their luck, just call the waitress on over and say, hey, look, you see this? You see this grandma over here, this little old lady over here? Hey, I would like to buy her lunch anonymously. And don't tell her who did it. Just tell her a friend bought your lunch. How many know there's a lot of people that nobody's ever showed any favor to them? Nobody's ever shown them any favor. Man, people show me favor all over the place. Well, I ought to be showing favor to people. Amen? Amen? I was in a restaurant one morning. Here was this guy sitting over here, street guy. Looked like he's down on his luck. I called the waitress over. I said, hey, I'd like to buy that guy's lunch. You know what the waitress said? Somebody's already done it. Praise God. Somebody. And so I had to pick out. You've got to pick out somebody else. And by the way, when you buy somebody else's lunch anonymously, give a generous tip. Say these two words out loud. Generous tip. Say that out loud. Generous tip. Waitresses hate church people on Sunday because they're the biggest complainers and the cheapest ones in the whole bunch. And I want to say something to you. That ain't something to laugh at. That's something to be ashamed of. We were in a restaurant one time. I said to this little old lady. She's like hobbling around, older. And I says, what's the biggest tip you've ever got? She said, $20. But not in this dump. That's what she said. I said to my wife, hey, honey, do we got $20 and 10 cents? We're going to give her the biggest tip she's ever got. So I've been doing this here lately. Now, I know a lady, a girl, she's a waitress. Somebody gave her a $1,000 tip. All right, I don't have $1,000 tip in faith. But I got $20 tip in faith. I might have $40 tip in faith. But what I'm saying is, when you sow into other people, I mean, you know, if you're so generous, it's going to come back on you. Do you know that's a Bible principle? That's not charismatic theology. That's the Word of God. Cast your bread on the waters, and it's going to come back to you. That's why when you come to the prayer event, you're always going to get a bottle of water. You know why? Because Jesus said a cup of cold water given in His name gets recognition in heaven and gets a prophet's reward. So I said to my team, I said, praise God, we got 1,000 people. We got 1,000 going in. We got 1,000 bottles of water going out. We got 2,000 rewards, and it don't cost but 7 cents a bottle. Glory be to God. And I'm just telling you, I'm serious about this. Sow into people. Help people. People, kids that are in college, they're all broke just like we were. And people helped us, didn't they? You know what I mean? Or somebody that's lost a relative, or if they're going through a season of difficulty, or if they're out of work, why not just get the mind of God on how to minister to people? Be a generous giver, amen? I'm just telling you, you can refresh people. It's refreshing when somebody meets a need like that. All right, well, we got one more here. If you want to have a ministry of refreshment, here's the main one. Be Spirit-filled. You got to be Spirit-filled. Now, God's love, and when you're filled with His Spirit, you're going to refresh people. Duncan Gamble said the greatest thing about a man is his unconscious influence. The greatest thing about a person is his unconscious influence. If you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you'll do more by accident than you will on purpose when you're not Spirit-filled. I'm telling you, you just can't help but if you got the life of God percolating in your soul, man, somebody's going to be helped by being around you. And pray for people. Pray with people. It so encourages people. People are looking for somebody to help them overcome their fears. They're looking for somebody to believe in them. They're looking for somebody to care for them. Be one of those people. And I want to tell you, churches that care for one another and serve one another are communities of encouragement. Are communities of encouragement. This ought to be the most encouraging place in Bridgeport. Your church should be the most encouraging, happiest place in Bridgeport. I believe that. Now, I know a church in North Carolina. The pastor was a mercy man and a good man. And he had a church like he'd have 400 on Sunday morning. About 400 Sunday night, and about 400 Wednesday night. It was just a highly committed church. And he was a good guy, a good preacher, but a warm, merciful man. So you know what he did? He felt impressed to start a care ministry in his church, a care ministry. So he recruited a guy that was good at this. They trained 50 people to bird dog people when they come in the church. So you know what they start doing? If somebody came in and they looked like they were discouraged or depressed, if it was a man would go up. If it was a woman, one of the women would go up and they would say, hey, can I pray with you about anything? And they would share their burden and they just put their hand on his shoulder and pray over him on the spot. So for a year, they started exercising practicing the one another commands. Pray for one another, forgive one another, exhort one another, bear one another's burdens, confess your faults to one another. All they did was practice the one another commands. And for a whole year, if a visitor came, they got invited out to lunch. If a visitor came, they would get invited to somebody's home. How many remember when you could stop in at somebody's home without making an appointment 3 months in advance? Can anybody remember those days? We lived in the country, man, and we lived a half mile off a secondary road. And when somebody knocked on the door, my dad would say, he was old, and he'd say, come on in. Jehovah's Witnesses, come on in. Mormons, come on in. Vacuum salesman, come on in. I mean, it was just more of a hospitable situation. And you know something? People are starving for community. Can I say something to you? The younger people are more relational. They're not regulatory. They are relational. And the house of God ought to be relational, amen? Look at the one another commands. Would you believe that that church in 1 year doubled, went from 400 to 800, and the only thing they did different was practice one another commands. Can you believe that? That's amazing. And I'm telling you, when we minister to people like this, we can have an impact. Prepare a mental list every morning. Every morning. And here's the prayer to pray. Lord, who should I encourage today? Uh-huh. You'll always get two names in 10 seconds. Uh-huh. Oh, Lord, how should I encourage? A text, a prayer, a gift, a visit, a note. Lord, how should I encourage? And if you'll do that every day, if you do that for 1 year, that'd be about 800 people that you could have a ministry of refreshment to by yourself. Isn't that amazing? And if 50 people did that, think about if 100 people did that, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people receiving some encouragement. Now listen, Paul refreshed the saints, and we should too. Purpose to inspire people. Somebody said, aspire to inspire before you expire. Aspire to inspire before you expire. Intentionally encourage people. Look for reasons to praise people. Motivate people to meaningful goals. Speak hope and faith into people's lives. I had a family meeting one time, Pastor, and got all the family in. I said, when's the last time you all heard a Bible message on hope? On hope. Because that's one of the great three virtues, right? Faith, hope, and love. You know what my family said? They couldn't ever recall hearing a message on the subject of hope. My children go to conservative churches. And I want to say something to you. When you get a message on hope, you have to go listen to a borderline heretic. There's something wrong with us. Because people need hope. I'm telling you, they need a little hope in these days. Some of y'all remember when they used to preach on the blessed hope and man alive, that thing was real back in those days. And by the way, I just heard this. It says, seeing that the heavens are going to melt with fervent heat, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conduct, looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God. Listen to this. Without a realization of the imminent return of Christ, holy living is a nigh on impossibility. Because he that has this hope purifies himself. People need some hope, I'm telling you. If they're out of work, a third of all small business owners are out of business. The next 4 months, it'll take out 30% more. People need some hope. And I'm telling you, everybody needs some hope. You know, when I was talking to that waitress at the restaurant, you know what I was thinking? If my mother was 70 years old and had to wait tables to make a living, I would hope somebody would come along and give her a big tip. That's what I was thinking. And I'm thinking, if I'm wishing somebody to do it for that mom, she's somebody else's mom. We're going to do what we can where we are while we can. We're going to try to sow some stuff into people's hearts and lives and try to inspire somebody to believe God for a better day. And I'm just telling you, when it comes to conservative Christianity, we're at an all-time low on hope, an all-time low on faith. And believe in God for an immediate invasion of the Spirit of God. I'm just telling you, we all need hope. Now, what about this? Now, I want you to think of the people who light your fire. I want you to think about the people when you get around them, you know you're going to be better off for having been around them. How many of you know somebody or somebodies that when you get around them, you know you're going to be encouraged. You know you're going to be helped. You know you're going to be lifted up. How many of you know somebody like that? When you get around them, you're better off. Now, here's what you need to do. You need to purpose in your heart to do for others what they're doing for you. And if you'll just imitate what they're doing toward you and do it for others, you'll have the same impact on other people. I'm telling you, it's a ministry of refreshment. Determined to be one of those people. Be a refresher. Now, all right, here's the implementation. Number one, how many of you know somebody right now who's down, sick, diseased, out of work, grieving, hurting? How many of you know somebody? I've been on the phone this morning with my son. How many know somebody right now that's going through a hard time and could really use some encouragement and refreshment? How many of you know somebody like that right there? We all know multiple people like that. How many of you would commit right now, before tonight, you're going to reach out and do something to attempt to encourage and refresh that person? How many would just take some initiative and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to quit moaning and looking at TV. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to try to be an encourager. How many would commit to that? Lift your hands up way high. Preacher, that's just about all of us. So you do that. You do that, and I'll tell you what, you can have a ministry of refreshment to somebody. You know, it's amazing to me that people come up to me 10 years after the fact. You know, I was saved in that meeting back then. Really? Well, how come you never said anything? I met God at this event, this prayer event, or whatever. And I thought, wow, really? So what I'm saying is, sow bountifully, and you're going to reap bountifully. And God wants us to have this ministry of refreshment. I'm just determined, Pastor. I'm going to do everything in my power to encourage as many people as I can. And when God puts on my heart, slide over there and give that guy $500. He's got cancer. I'm sliding over there and giving that dude $500 or whatever it might happen to be. Text this person. Pray for this person. This morning I was in the room, in the hotel room, and here I was just praying, and people are coming to my mind, and because we know so many people that have so many needs. And so instead of getting overwhelmed and depressed by all of that, hey, take the offensive and start sowing into people's lives. Now, here's the final thing. The Bible says that times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Wow, nothing more refreshing than a sense of the presence of God. And here you are so fortunate to have a Bible-based, Christ-centered, cross-centered church where you get the Word of God continually. And your pastor and these pastors in the area are believing God for something out of this world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's a lot to be thankful for right there. I'm just telling you. But I wonder this morning, how many of you here this morning need personal refreshment yourself? I'm telling you, if you live long enough, you're going to come to some dry holes and dead ends and dry spells. Anybody ever been through a dry spell? Anybody in one? Yeah. I mean, if you live long enough, you're gonna come into some perplexing, baffling, inexplicable seasons. And that's why we need the body of Christ to be ministering to one another. I'm pleading with you. You know somebody that's sick? Get on the phone and call them up and pray a prayer of faith. You know somebody that's grieving? We got four families that we know that have somebody died. They're hurting. So I'm texting them and I'm calling them. I'm doing something. I'm pleading with you. You know, well, that's not my place. Well, if you know them and you know they're hurting, it's your place. Take some responsibility. And you know what? If we just do for others what we wish others would do for us, how many know that everybody would be better off? Amen? And we're going to reap what we sow. So I'm pleading with you this morning. I'm pleading with you. People that's broke. People that's hurting. So I got a pastor buddy. His wife just showed up about 5 weeks ago and says she wants out. He's a good man. He wasn't doing anything wrong. Check it out. And then 2 days later, he gets on to try to call her, can't find her. He's on the phone, and her phone locator, his phone locator, she's in the hotel parking lot. And he pulls up, and there she is in the truck with somebody. That guy's hurting, okay? And instead of judging him, can't we just have a little mercy in our hearts, amen, for him? Are y'all with me here this morning? I'm begging you this morning. In God's name, let's get off our backside and quit critiquing and analyzing everything. And let's be instruments of mercy in a broken generation. I'm talking about the millennial socialist at Starbucks. I walked in Starbucks in Florida and they like Gestapo. Put on your mask. I says, is that a law? No, it's our policy. I said, okay. Now I got $13 left on my Starbucks card, and when I spend that, I ain't never going back. But what I'm saying is this. Instead of being hateful, which I can be pretty dogmatic, at some point we just need to start listening, questioning, talking, being honest, trying to sense what's going on. And can I just say this to you? Most conservative churches have lost their own children, okay? And we're going to lose the grandchildren too if we don't start caring, listening. I said listening, being honest, being open. And instead of condemning them and judging them, criticizing them all the time, and I'm opposed to communism and socialism. I'm opposed to all of this, just trust me on this. But they don't know no better. And if 75% of black children don't even know who the father is, no wonder they're mad. No wonder they're mad. Now we can just, you know, go down the line on all of that, or we can try to have a ministry to some of these people. Are you with me right here? Let's try to inspire people, encourage people, be a blessing to people, reach people, love people. If it's all about loving God and loving each other, then go for it. Now, y'all, everybody here is gonna have a ministry of refreshment today to somebody. So here's the final question. How many here would say, Harold, I'm going through a rough time personally, I'm having a rough time emotionally, financially, relationally, physically, and I just sense a need of refreshment in my spirit, and I'd like to be prayed for. Anybody here this morning like to get prayed over and prayed for? Would you just stand to your feet? If you'd like to be prayed for, we're going to pray for you and pray with you and believe God for your situation. God bless you, dear sister. Anybody else would like to get prayed for? Just stand up. Yeah, just stand up. We're going to pray. I know we got COVID here, but we're still going to pray, okay? Yeah. Anybody else need to get in on this prayer? I need something from God. Anybody else? All right, those of you that are seated up front, look, turn around and look. We got three people standing here that want to be prayed for, and there may be others. So with the restrictions, I guess we shouldn't put the hand on the shoulder, but we want to pray for you. So I want about three or four to huddle around everybody that's standing, and then quickly just tell what your need is. Don't go into a lengthy thing, just real quick. And then two people pray over these people, okay? And everybody else just pray for others that you know right now. There's going to be a time to pray over other people, all right? Just share your burden real quick, and then two people pray over them, and then Pastor Vaughn will come.
just hear that kind of preaching this morning. I trust it was encouragement to you, was to me. And I was just thinking of Acts 3:19, where it talks about the time of refreshing that is coming from the Lord. That'll be the ultimate refreshing. And repentance, faith in Christ, and one day that ultimate refreshing from Him. And really, that's, you know, we're focusing on revival. That's a time of refreshing. And so look forward to seeing you tonight over at Bible Baptist at 6 o'clock. And again, if you cannot come, I encourage you. I think if you just Google Bible Baptist, you'll come to their website. But I believe it's BibleBTemp@AOL.com. Now, if you don't remember that, just Google it and you'll be able to pick up their site. But it's even better to be in person, so if you can be there tonight at 6 o'clock and then tomorrow night at 7, that'd be a blessing. I'm going to have Brother Vaughn just go to the back of the auditorium, and if you'd just like to say a word of encouragement to him, because he too needs encouragement, just like we all need encouragement. And thank you for being here this morning, and I hope your bladders have done well. Now you can rush out and find a local bathroom at a gas station if you can't make it all the way home. Thank you for being here this morning. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Let's stand together. Father, thank you so much. It's been good to be in your house. It's been good to hear your servant. It's been good, Father, to sing your praises. It's good, Father, to have the fellowship of the believers even in this COVID era. God, thank you. Thank you for everyone who's here today. Thank you for all those who have been watching today. Lord, bless them as well. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.